Amen. Well, you can have a seat. Normally, we have the reading of God's Word. Today, we're going to go through the resurrection story from the book of Matthew, and I'll be going through it throughout the sermon. So you can sit down, and let's go to the Lord now in prayer as we come to His Word. Father in heaven, open our eyes as we open Your Word. We want to hear from You. We want to see You and know You. And so You can only do that. I cannot do that. So we pray for You to open our eyes, help us to see You. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, have you ever noticed that our favorite stories keep getting better? That's why we love to retell them or rewatch them or reread them. It starts very young. For our five-year-old boy, starts with P.T. Eastman's classic, Go, Dog, Go, or Little Blue Truck. But as we get older, it might be Chronicles of Narnia, or Lord of the Rings, or you could fill in the blank with your favorite story. Our favorite stories keep getting better. And why is that? Well, I think one reason is because as we revisit our favorite stories, we are reminded of the truth of them, but we also get to see new things each time. Sometimes new things are revealed within that story. And today, I believe God wants us to see new things in this familiar of our favorite of the greatest story, the story of the resurrection. And in this story, we're going to see one proclamation that comes across the whole text, and that is Jesus is risen. And then that begs the question, what is your response? So we're going to trace this proclamation and this response throughout four movements of the story. The four movements of the story I've labeled the earthquake, the declaration, the earthquake, the declaration, the surprise, and then the commission. Almost forgot about the surprise. So first, the earthquake. Let's start reading in verse 1 of Matthew 28. It should be up there on your screens. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now it's fitting that in this event, the Lord produced an earthquake, because this was literally a earth-shattering moment. This was the second big earthquake in 3 days. The first one happened on Good Friday when Jesus died. There was a major earthquake. And now as Jesus rose, there was another earthquake. And with that earthquake came a heavenly being, an angel coming straight from the presence of God. He rolled away the stone and sat on the tomb. Now, we need to be clear, the angel didn't roll away the stone so that Jesus could get out. Jesus was already raised. He rolled away the tomb for us. This was for us that we might believe. Well, we are told what the angel looked like in verse 3. It says, his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. Now you can imagine when Matthew was compiling his gospel account, he's before the two Marys and he's saying, okay, now let me get this straight. What did the angel, what was he like? And they're like, well, he was like lightning. It's like, okay, lightning. All right, what was he wearing? I don't know what he was wearing, but it was white like snow. This was a majestic vision of a heavenly being, but it was also terrifying. We know that from the response of the guards. These battle-hardened soldiers had seen it all, but they had not seen this. Listen to verse 4. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Now, late last fall, in our garage, as the weather was getting colder, we had a possum who decided to make residence in our garage at night. It was a nice warm place. If you don't know about possums, when they're frightened, they play dead. Well, here, the guards, when they saw this sight, they were playing possum. They were playing dead. They were acting like dead men. They were terrified. Now, if we come back to the proclamation of the text, Jesus is risen. How do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? It's because the tomb was empty. But here we see the first response to those events. And we see this response of the guards. The guards were filled with fear. Just by seeing the angel, they didn't even see the Lord. They just saw an angel and they were terrified. They were probably terrified because they sensed their own sinfulness within their hearts. They were also terrified because they thought they were going to be killed because they let Jesus' body go. We learn later in the story in verse 11 that they went to the chief priests and they accepted a bribe. They wanted to cover their own back. They were concerned about their own life. They didn't care, was Jesus risen from the dead? They just wanted to know, am I going to be safe? And so they accepted a bribe, and they did not inquire about Jesus. Well, today there are people, when confronted with the resurrection, they're like the guards, and they refuse to accept the reality of the empty tomb. They don't even want to search it out. They're just living for themselves, for their own pleasures, their own life. They'll figure it out. Thank you very much. Well, that is the first movement of the story. We see a reaction that's in a response that's not good. It brings us to the second movement of the story, which is the declaration. Listen to verse 5. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." Well, here the angel affirms what we celebrated just a couple days ago on Good Friday, that Jesus died. He was crucified. And we learned on Good Friday, he was crucified for us as our substitute, in our place. We do believe Jesus really died. But then we hear some of the greatest words ever uttered by anybody in verse 6. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." Now, this is such a big sentence. We need to just break this down phrase by phrase. First, he is not here. As in, he's not in the tomb. He is risen. He's no longer dead. Death could not hold him. He is risen. Translated, he is alive. God has raised him from the dead. Friends, do you believe that this morning, that Jesus is alive? We serve a risen, resurrected Savior. As he told you. You know, Jesus knew this was going to happen. He had told his disciples three different times in Matthew 16, Matthew 17, Matthew 20. He had said, "I'm going to die. I'm going to be mistreated. I'm going to be flogged. I'm going to be killed. And then I will rise on the third day." But the disciples didn't get it. Matthew 16, Peter rebukes Jesus for saying this. "How dare you? How dare you say that?" And Jesus said, "How dare you say that?" Matthew 17, they're troubled by this saying. Matthew 18, it's very clear. Jesus said, "I'm going to raise from the dead." They didn't understand what he meant. They didn't have a category for resurrection. Well, in case the women needed some more proof of what was going on here, listen to what the angel said. "Come, see the place where he lay." Here we have first century eyewitnesses when it happened, women no less, which wasn't respected at that time, but women going to the tomb and seeing that it's empty. But the angel, if you know the word angel, it means messenger. He has a message from God to the people, and he wants them to do something. And so we get this message in verse 7. He says this to the two Marys, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee." Remember, they're in Jerusalem. and you will see him. See, I've told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. So remember the proclamation going through the text, Jesus is risen. Well, here the angel affirms those very words, Jesus is risen. But here we see a very different response than the guards' response. The women responded with belief. They believed. They believed that Jesus was risen. They saw the empty tomb. They believed the words of the angel, and they went to go tell the disciples. Well, it brings us to the third movement of the story, which I almost forgot earlier, the surprise. You know, it's hard to surprise someone when they know what's coming. I was reminded of this many years ago when Sarah and I were just dating. And we knew we were going to get married. She knew a proposal was coming. So it was very hard to surprise her. We were even in pre-marriage counseling at the time. We weren't even engaged yet. And our pre-marriage counselor said, you can't get engaged until after the second session. We kind of agreed to that. So when we went on a family trip with Sarah's family to Colorado, she was not expecting a proposal because the rules were we had only had one session. You know, you couldn't do an engagement then. What she didn't know is I had gone secretly to our pre-marriage counselors and asked, could I break your kind of rule and ask her? They gave approval. So right there in the hills, the mountains of Colorado, I got down on a knee and I asked Sarah to marry me. And she was surprised. And thankfully she said yes, obviously. Well, the women in this story, they were expecting to see Jesus. They were told by the angel, you're going to see Jesus, but they were expecting to see Jesus in Galilee. They were in Jerusalem. They were expecting to see Jesus in some time. It takes a while to get to up to Galilee. It's not you can't like drive cars back then. You're on donkeys. You're walking. So you can imagine them running. You can picture them running, waiting to tell the disciples this great news that Jesus is risen, and then they're stopped in their tracks. Listen to what they see in verse 9. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. Now, if there was any shockers out there, this was the shocker. They thought they were going to see Jesus, but not now. And I just love this part of the story because it's as if Jesus had set up this plan. You know, he's got this angel. He's like, okay, you're going to go down there. You're going to tell the women to go tell the disciples, and I'm going to see him in Galilee. Got it? Got it. And the angel carries it out. But Jesus knew what he was going to do. As they're running, he's saying, I'm going to go surprise him. And he shows up to these two women who were grieving, who were weeping. They thought Jesus was the Savior. They believed him as the Savior, but he is now dead. What was going on? And he reveals himself to them. What a tender moment that just shows us the heart of our Savior for those he has come to save. Well, then he just repeats the command that the angel gave, but he puts a little twist on it. Listen to what he says in verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." I wonder if you notice the slight change of the command. First he says, the angel said, go tell his disciples. Jesus said, go tell my brothers. My brothers. Remember just a few nights before, on the night he was betrayed, he said, no longer do I call you servants, I call you my friends. These two instances appearing to the two Marys and what he calls his disciples, brothers and friends, reminds us of the heart of our Lord and Savior. Friend, do you need to be reminded today that the Lord calls you friend and brother or sister, that he loves you, that you are in his family if you know and love Jesus Christ? You are accepted. You are part of his family. That is who you are. Well, as we think about the proclamation of the text. Jesus is risen. Here the women see it for themselves. They see the risen Lord themselves. And their response is the perfect one. They worshiped him. You see how they fell at his feet and worshiped him? It was the posture that one took before a king at those times. They knew that this was the king. He was the risen king in the flesh. They grabbed his feet and they worshiped. That is the right response when we encounter the resurrected Lord Jesus. Why is that the right response? Well, because the Bible affirms that we all are sinners separated from God. We all have made a distance between us and God, and we have no way back. But Jesus, on Good Friday, died on the cross so that we might have life. He took our sins upon himself as a substitute. And the resurrection, the good news of the resurrection, tells us that this sacrifice was accepted by God. That it is finished, that Christ is raised, and if we believe in him, we too will be raised with him. And so Jesus' resurrection is a foretaste of our own resurrection. Jesus is alive, and friend, if you believe in Jesus, you will be alive one day when you die. Well, now we're going to skip ahead in the story where Jesus appears to his disciples in Galilee. We're going to skip the story about the part where the soldiers betray Jesus in that way. Verse 16, this is the commission, this movement. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. Finally got there. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now you expect the first response. We just talked about that. That's the right response, worship. When you see the risen Lord Jesus, we should worship. We're compelled to worship, but we don't expect the second response. And some doubted. This is an amazing phrase. When confronted with the risen Lord Jesus, there were some that doubted. Now, it could be some of the 11 disciples. It could be a larger group that was there. We're not exactly told, but some doubted. It could be translated hesitated. How could they hesitate when they see the Lord Jesus? Well, they may have hesitated or doubted because they thought, well, maybe this isn't really happening. Maybe I'm just having like a huge hallucination right now. Or maybe, as R.T. France said, he's a scholar, he surmised maybe that they were hesitating because they didn't know how Jesus was going to receive them. Remember, they had just denied Jesus a couple days earlier. Maybe they were hesitating because they didn't know how Jesus would respond to them. But what's so encouraging about this story? We're told people are doubting. They're seeing the risen Lord Jesus and they're doubting. And you may have doubts today, even as a believer, like, why did this bad thing happen to me? What's going on in this world? You may have doubts, but it's so encouraging that the Lord can handle those doubts and he still gives his disciples, he still gives us a job to do. He still loves us. He still accepts us. Listen to what he says in verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So what are we who believe in the Lord Jesus this morning? What are we called to do? We are called to go and make disciples, to tell others the good news. But we need to be very clear of the order of the narrative, then the order of our lives. Worshiping Jesus precedes working for Jesus. We need to worship Jesus so that we can then go and work for him in the power that he supplies. See, they worshiped, and then they were going to go work for him in the power that he supplied. At the beginning, I talked about how our favorite stories keep getting better with time. This is the greatest story of all time. And here we are reminded that Jesus is risen. And as we close, I want you to consider, what is your response? What will your response be this Easter Sunday to the resurrected Lord Jesus? Will you be like the guards, kind of looking out for your own back, doing your own thing, not really considering how this monumental event might affect your life, might just be something that happened? Are you going to be like those who saw Jesus and doubted and therefore maybe hesitate from going all in with Jesus? You're like, I kind of believe, but I'm not fully in. I'm not fully sure. Well, if you're in those boats, maybe today the Lord has been working on your heart and you are being called, like the two Marys, to believe and to worship the Lord Jesus. How do you do that? Well, if you've never done that before, you can do that by admitting that you are a sinner, that you need a Savior. You have done wrong things before a holy God. You can do that by affirming the facts. Jesus died. He rose again 3 days later from the grave. He appeared to many others. But you don't just approve facts to believe in Jesus. You must receive him as Lord. Amanda talked about that. She knew a lot of facts about the gospel, but she had not received him as Savior and Lord. I wonder if there's some today who have not yet received Jesus, not yet surrendered your will, your life to him. If you haven't done that, you can do that today by praying to him, telling him what's on your heart, that he is a great Savior, you are a great sinner, and you want him to save your soul. Well, many of us today do believe in Jesus this morning. And I wonder if you noticed the pattern of those who saw Jesus and believed in the resurrection in this story. Did you see the pattern? First, the women who encounter Jesus are told to go tell his disciples. Then his disciples are told by Jesus to go and tell others. And by implication, us today, if we know and love Jesus Christ, we are to go and make disciples of all nations. If you know and believe in Jesus, you are called to go and tell others about it. It's not for yourself, just to know yourself. It's to be shared with others. So will you go and share? The proclamation of the text. Jesus is risen. What will be your response? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, this story never gets old. We are in awe of your plan of salvation. We are in awe that you would take us, those who were your enemies, rebels against your will, and you would die for us by sending Jesus to die for us. So Lord, help us. If we've never surrendered our life to you, I pray that those here who are in that boat would do so today. That new life would come today, eternal life would come today. For those of us who do know you, Lord, I pray that you would give us a burning passion to worship you, to continue to believe, to press on in our belief, and then go and tell others about it. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen.